side note to have. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, John. I hope you got the point of the scripture reading this morning. I know it was a long set of verses, but I couldn't find a place to break it up where it would be a short set of verses and still get that same point across with the understanding we needed to have. And the whole point of those verses is that sometimes men, grown men, behave like teenagers and rebel. And don't think that you don't still do it, because I know you do. We all do. Sometimes we don't do it on purpose. Sometimes we do it on purpose. But the point is, we still rebel. In these passages, we're told that God was not happy with what Samuel did. And you understand what Samuel did, right? He played the priest himself. He was supposed to be waiting on Samuel to come back. Samuel was the priest and prophet. And Saul didn't wait. He took it upon himself to give the offering and the sacrifice to God, maybe thinking that that was going to help his dire strait against going up against the Philistines. He wasn't supposed to do that no matter what. He should have waited on Samuel to return. Samuel said, "I'll be back." And he was. He was true to his word. He was back later that same day, but not according to where Saul thought he needed to be back. You ever find yourselves, gentlemen, being this Father's Day, I'm going to talk to the guys today, but now you ladies listen, because I know y'all behave the same way. Do you ever find yourselves in a situation where you know you shouldn't do something, but you go ahead and do it, thinking it's going to be a better result if you do? This would be yes. In verse 14 of that passage that Brother John read, the Lord sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because Saul had not kept what the Lord commanded him. Now, you do understand that David was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man. Matter of fact, David had already done some things in his youth that were probably not very pleasing to God, but there must have been something about David's heart that pleased God, that caused God to look to David. You recall he sent Samuel to Jesse's house, and they showed Jesse all the brothers and all the men in the house, or showed Samuel all the men for him to pick the next king. And he said, "No," the Lord said, "none of these will do." The Lord looks on the inside, not on the outside. You know, when they picked Saul for a king, he was one of those tall, dark, and handsome kind. He was kingly looking to all the folks. Thought, boy, he looks good. He'll make a good king. Well, this time, God chose his own king. If they were going to have a king like the nations around them, which God didn't want them to do in the first place, even knowing it was going to be bad for them, he let them have their king in Saul. But this time, he replaced him with a man that was pleasing to him. Not a perfect man, not a sinless man. So let's understand this morning, what was it about David's heart that was so pleasing to God that he called him a man after his own heart? We would do well, gentlemen, to emulate David in his way of the heart. And I hope you'll remember some of these things this morning, because first of all, we need to be a spiritual man. David was a spiritual man. Now, David wasn't a mystic. He wasn't a magical kind of guy. Sometimes we think about the word spiritual, and we have all this kind of thought in our head, or this vision of what it means to be spiritual. And let me give you a very simple explanation of what it means to be spiritual. If you're a spiritual man or woman, if it bothers God, it bothers you. If it pleases God, it pleases you. If it's an abomination to God, it's an abomination to you. That's as simple an explanation of being spiritual as I could ever hope to give you. What God sees, you see. How else would we describe being spiritual? The world would tell you spiritual is all kind of different things. You have to have kind of like the Gnostics of the first century that Paul fought a lot. You have to have this special understanding to be spiritual. You have to have a gift that God gives you to be spiritual. No. The only gift you need to be spiritual is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And God gives that freely upon obedience to his gospel. What a blessing that is. But if we're going to be spiritual, it's not a mystical or mysterious thing. It's just agreeing with God. God likes it, you like it. God doesn't like it, you don't like it. If God says do it, you do it. If God says don't do it, then we don't do it. That's pretty simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said simple. Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to accomplish. But that's what God saw in David, no doubt. God saw in David a man after his own heart, because David was a spiritual man. His heart was in harmony with God, within harmony of God's will for David in his life and for Israel. A spiritual man obeys God. Do it or don't. Whatever God sees is right. The spiritual man obeys that. God's looking for men who are then completely and totally his. David was totally God. Now again, David was not perfectly sinless. David make mistakes? Yes. But if we look back on David's life, his writings, his dealing with Israel, his dealing with the people around him, his dealing with Saul, and his relationship with God, we find out that David was a spiritual, obedient man. Man who seeks after God's heart is, like David, more concerned with pleasing or displeasing God than he is pleasing or displeasing people. Boy, we could take that big lesson from David to this day and time. So much of our world around us is about being politically correct. We don't want to displease anyone. We want to please everyone around us. And how do we please those who are on the left and those who are on the right, those who say yay and those who, how do we please all those people? Well, you take that middle road and sit on the fence. Pretty simple, huh? Right thing to do? No. If you're sitting on the fence, there's going to be times when you stand against what's right, because God says you're either with him or against him. You can't have it both ways. You can't be with him part of the time or against him part of the time. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either spiritual or you're not. And given the choice this morning, would you rather please God or please men? Sitting in this building, in this room together, we say, oh, I want to please God. That's why I'm here. If I called you Thursday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, would you have said at that point in time, will you be able to say on Thursday afternoon this coming week, if the Lord lets us have a Thursday afternoon this coming week, would you be able to say that everything you did this week has been in order to please God and not men? And some of us might have a hard time saying that come Thursday afternoon. I pray that you will be able to make that statement, make that statement affirmatively. But it's not going to be easy. There's going to be folks who will be after you just like they were after David. Just like they were after Saul and every other person that we encounter in the New and Old Testament both. There's going to be folks that come after you and try to get you swayed against what pleases God. Are you strong enough of a spiritual heart to not go that direction? That's the question. So first of all, David was a spiritual man. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, if we read down through there, and we're not going to go there in the interest of time this morning. We could spend a lot of time in 1 Samuel and get educated really, really good. But the basis of some of the verses in 1 Samuel is that God wants men's. God wants men who are humble servants. You can't be spiritual. You can't be in harmony with God and not be a humble servant. You cannot be a Christian and not be a humble servant. Now, let me clarify that. You can be a Christian and be on the hypocritical side of things. You probably know some of them folks, and I do too. Not very humble and not very servant-oriented. But if you're spiritual, in harmony with God's will for you in your life, then you cannot help but be a humble servant. We have that in David. Plenty of evidence that David was a humble man and a servant man. He kept that servant's heart even after he was made king of Israel. Go back and spend some time with David in the Kings and Samuel. And understand that David always had that servant's heart. If you're a Christian, you're a servant. Isn't that what Jesus was? Matter of fact, Jesus once said that he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. David was loyal. He was more about his master's good name and reputation than he was his own. He was more about pleasing God than pleasing men. He did things not for accolades or appreciation, and spiritual obedient servants don't worry about accolades or appreciation or pats on the back. And, you know, that's tough sometimes. You do all that you do for God and for the kingdom, for the church, and for the other folks, and you just keep doing, seem like, for everybody else, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody pats me on the back. Nobody tells me how good a job I did today or how much good I did in doing this thing or that thing or the other thing. Let me ask you a question. What does that really matter? Why do we do things? Why do we have a servant's attitude in the first place? Is it to be patted on the back? To be told how much of a servant we are? Or is it more to please God? Because that's the way He chooses for us to behave. And it doesn't matter how many people notice or how many people don't notice. The fact that that's who we are is what matters. The fact that God is pleased with our daily life and our way of doing things and our servant's attitude and our servant's heart, that's what matters. If no one ever noticed the things that you do in the name of Christ or on behalf of other people, God does. And it doesn't matter if anyone else knows it or not. So basically, if you boil it right down, one word, integrity. God wants men with integrity. Men of integrity. Turn with me, if you will, over to the Psalms. In Psalm 78. Psalm 78 was written by a fellow. It's attributed to a fellow named Asaph. Wasn't David. And in this psalm, he kind of rehearses or goes back through the history of Israel, beginning with Jacob and God choosing Jacob. And he talks about Israel being in captivity in Egypt, and he talks about the release and how God led them through the desert and the wilderness, and how He protected and fed and clothed them, and how He kept watch over them and defeated people that got in their way and people that would come up against them. And in the very end of that particular psalm, he ends up with David. And this is what he said, Psalm 78 at verse 70. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him, to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Notice what it says about David. In verse 72, it says, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. That's a big statement about David. It could have said, and Asaph could have written, and history would have known David to say, he led them according to what he thought was best. Didn't say that. Because not everything David thought was best would have probably been best. He could have said, and history could have known David as one who shepherded the people of Israel based on what the people wanted at the time. Didn't say that. Could have said a lot of things about David, but it says that he shepherded Israel with the integrity of his heart. What does integrity mean? What is that word defined? If you go to Webster or another viable dictionary or word organization, you find integrity as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, moral fortitude, moral commitment. That's what David was about. That's who David was. Now, maybe not when he was thinking about those things with Bathsheba. Not when he was thinking about other things with Uriah. He was guilty of addressing murder and fornication and some evilness in his heart. A time or two. He repented. Got back in God's graces. Got right with God after that. Go back and read Psalm 51, and he was contrite. Once he repented and got back in God's good graces, knew he had sinned against God and not necessarily against man. Every sin is against God, as was brought out in our Bible class this morning. From that point forward, we don't find much that David did wrong in God's sight. He didn't always agree with the people. The people didn't always agree with David. His wife even thought he was nuts for dancing like he was when they brought the ark back into town. But he was a man after God's own heart. In the end result, David was a man after God's own heart. What better could be said of us in history is that we were, like David, men after God's own heart. And to do that, to be that kind of man, we have to be a spiritual man, have to be a humble servant, and we have to have integrity and live our lives from a point of integrity. If any of those three are not in the mix, you can't really be a man after God's own heart. It just doesn't work. People of integrity. You know, integrity causes you to live the same way no matter where you are, to talk the same way no matter who you're with, to think the same things no matter when. Someone says integrity is the essence of your character, and character is what you do when no one else is looking. Well, think about that for a second. Spend a little time with that this week. What do I do when no one else is looking? What do I think when nobody else is around? What kind of language do I do when I hit my thumb with a hammer? That's integrity. That's character. That kind of character comes when, comes when you make one decision. When you make a sincere, wide open, no holes barred decision for God, in other words, to be godly in your life, to obey God, to give yourself to God, to be His child, all those other decisions are made. It's not a question about where I'll be on Sunday morning. It's not a question about where I'll be on this day or that day. It's not a question about what kind of language will I choose to use. It's not a question about my thoughts, although sometimes our thoughts go a little bit left. We have to bring them back into submission. Our thoughts are not always perfect. We understand that. We're not always perfect. David wasn't always perfect. But, you know, that's why God sent His Son here in the first place, because He knew we couldn't always be perfect. Today, on Father's Day, you read all kinds of things, little poems and writings, and it's about stacking all these good qualities in one place, and God called it Father, called it Dad. Sentimental things. That's a big old perch to put somebody up on, because none of us are that perfect. But God knows that. He never asked, is there anything in your Bible or mine that asks us to be perfect? No, it's not there. The word perfect, when you run across it in Scripture, is to be complete or mature. It doesn't mean to be perfect or sinless or spotless. Jesus came to give you that. The only way we can be spotless or perfect or sinless is through Christ. All spiritual gifts are found in Christ our Lord, as Paul would say. So the point of the whole lesson is we can choose to be like Saul. We can choose to do what we think is best at the time. We can choose to go our own way and be our own priest and forget about what the Scriptures say or what the Word says, or forget about what God says. We can do it our own way. God gives us the ability to make those choices. Or we can be like David and be as good as possible, as godly as possible. Not perfect, but as godly as possible by being spiritual, by being a humble servant, and by having integrity. Those things, I do believe, are what caused David to be a man after God's own heart. You know, it wasn't people that said that either. So a lot of the people didn't think that about David. Asaph may not have thought that about David. He didn't say that. No one else said that about David, if you look back on it, but God. God said, this is a man after my own heart. He's the one I want to be king of Israel. He's the one I'll choose. David had a big set of britches to fill, didn't he? I'm sure David didn't think it was going to be easy either. And it's not easy. It's not easy living up to these qualities that God expects in the man that's after His heart. But it's doable. God never said it was going to be easy. Never told David, never told Saul it was going to be easy. So we have two men who attacked this same function from two different points of view. Who are you like this morning? You like Saul or you like David? Maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you just need a little more spirituality. A little more integrity. little more forethought about doing things that God be pleased with instead of pleasing people. You know, see, it's tough not to please people. I know if you're working in the world, if you're working out there in the daily grind of it all, it's hard not to please people. And part of our responsibility is in the working place is to be people pleasers. Because, you know, the customer's always right. You've heard that? Well, I've met some customers I questioned in my working life. That's just a good way to say, let's don't make the customer mad because he's going to buy something. People pleasing. You don't do that with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You tell your brothers and sisters in Christ what the truth is, not what they want to hear. Remember Paul talking about those people with itching ears who will heap to themselves teachers that they want to teach them what they want to hear, to paraphrase? That's not the way to love somebody. You tell them the truth. God tells you the truth in his word. Christ told the truth. He was disliked big time for it. Paul told the truth, and he was stoned for it. He was left for dead for it. He was put in prison for it. It's not easy. But you've got men in this Bible who are men of integrity, servitude, spiritual, that pleases God. I hope that's you this morning. If it's not, and if you need some assistance in any of those areas, it's not that we can make you that way. We can just help you find in Scripture what God says will make you that way. See, it's all about Him. It's about our Heavenly Father. If you're a good father this morning, it's because God allowed you to be that and helped you along the way. So if there's an issue with your fatherhood, if there's an issue with your person, if there's an issue that you need some assistance with, Christian or non-Christian, we don't make any division there, because the only division God makes is, are you a member of the church or are you a member of the world? Are you a member of the kingdom? There's only two kingdoms we talked about last week, the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of Christ. Which one are you in this morning? If you're not in the kingdom of Christ, you cannot be pleasing to God. He loves you. And He gives you the same opportunity as everybody else to put on Christ through obedience to baptism. We can explain what the word says about that. I don't know who you are this morning. Don't know where you are in your spiritual walk, or if you even started a spiritual walk yet. But if you haven't started one, this would be a really good day to do it, Dad. If you need to increase your spiritual walk, this would be a really good day to do it, Dad. Or whoever else has the same need. So you have to make that decision. Am I going to stay like I am today? Or am I going to change and make things better beginning this afternoon for the rest of my life? You make the determination. We'll help you with God's grace while we stand and sing.